Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 84. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella. Titanium, we got a little banged up on Saturday.
We got more than banged up. We were absolutely sideways.
I don't know what happened.
I don't either. I don't remember a lot of it, but we were absolutely sideways. And what a blast. I had an absolute fantastic time. So much fun.
So this has been going on for 5, 6, 7 years. I can't even remember how long it's been going on. We get a big group of people that go to the Zac Brown Band concert every year at Jiffy Lube Live. This year is where it was. And we had a bus full, probably like 40 people on the bus this year.
It was a lot of people.
And big tailgate, big concert. It's one of the best concerts we go to every year. Always a great, great time. And boy, I don't know what happened, but next day you and I were not feeling right.
Man. We had a little meeting out at Bear Chase, and we were in the car driving out there, and we were like, whoa, what happened to us last night?
Yeah, we were heading to the bathroom a few extra times because of all the water we were drinking that morning, just trying to flush everything out of our system.
You're trying to hydrate. Hydrate after that. When you twist yourself in that kind of a knot, you got to hydrate.
Well, speaking of, we did a little bit of our site prep for our live show that's happening September 11th, Sunday, September 11th. Please, people, if you're in the local Washington, D.C. area, please head out to Bear Chase Brewery.
Bring some friends.
On Sunday, September 11th. We will be there doing a live broadcast, live show of Super Talk Podcast. Will be happening at Bear Chase Brewery. Went out there, did a little show prep, found out where we're going to be setting up. Talked to the general manager out there, really, really hooked us up. We are in great space out there. It is opening weekend for the NFL as well, so you're going to have plenty to do that day. Show up, come support Super Talk Podcast, grab a beer, grab some food, watch the podcast. Then you see NFL starts at 1 o'clock. We got live music starting at 1 o'clock.
Oktoberfest is going on.
Yeah, they said they're launching their Oktoberfest beer, I think that week or the week after.
That's the Saturday before.
So their award-winning Oktoberfest beers is being launched that weekend. So really no better time. And if you've never been out to Bear Chase Brewery, the place is incredible.
Spectacular. Visually spectacular.
The facility itself is just a wonderfully welcoming place. And, you know, great food, great beer, great time, great atmosphere. But the view is just off the chain. So if you've never been out there, please join us, Bear Chase Brewery, September 11th, Sunday. We will be doing a live show from there.
Live recorded show.
And no surprise to anybody. So first thing to say, first beer is on Super Talk Podcast.
Yes.
So that one is
21 and older. First beer is on us until our tab runs out.
Yeah. until our credit card company calls. And
we got to pay for that private Super Talk jet. We can't be spending it all on beers.
Right. But so first beverage is on us. Secondly, to say we've got, and I'm not going to spoil it here, but we've got some giveaways going on during the show as well. So if you come out and join us, we've got some swag we're going to give away, and we do have a single special giveaway that day as well that Titanium was able to secure. So please join us Sunday, September 11th. We'd love to see you in person. All the supporters of the show, everybody who's been backing us from day one, we really want to do this in person and live again. Yeah. And we did one other live show on our anniversary back in January, and we're looking forward to doing this one again. So
yeah, big supporter of the show, PJ McManus, donated something that we're going to give away, and it is special. It's going to be kind of cool. So we're looking forward to that. We hope everybody shows up for this.
I do too. And speaking of supporters of the show, people have been asking me, I've actually ran into a bunch of people that listen to the show, you know, quite frequently. They're like, hey, what can I do to help you guys, you know, are really a lot of fun to listen to. You give us some good content. What can I do to help? I said, look, join our Patreon. You know, the Patreon is a way that you can support the show directly. Patreon.com/supertalk.
Yep.
All you have to do is donate like literally a dollar an episode. And every time we come out with a new episode, you donate a dollar to the show. And frankly, we give that and more way back to our audience.
Yep.
So if you want to support the show directly, joining our patron is the way to do that. Patreon.com/supertalk is the way to do that. Thank you for those of you that have done that already, but it's a way for you to support us directly. So we really appreciate those who have done it, and anybody else wants to sign up, you'll have plenty of opportunity to do that. So thank you.
Awesome.
Well, let's jump into the show this week. We've got a couple of reviews. I want to save She-Hulk for our topic of the week this week because I think it warrants its own section, but we do have a couple of things I want to talk about as far as reviews are concerned. I did mention to you a couple days ago, you know, had you watched The Samaritan yet? And you're like, oh, what's that? And I was like, oh, that's the new movie on Amazon Prime that with Sylvester Stallone. And he plays, the concept of the movie is, it just came out a week ago. The concept of the movie is he's used to be a superhero, but he basically decided to quit, you know, and some kid learns that he's still alive and is trying to figure out where he is and why he quit and all this other stuff. And you just started watching it.
Yeah, you know, I watched the first like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the concept is him and his brother were born with superhuman strength, superpowers. And I guess the community didn't understand it and was fearful of them and scared. And they tried to burn the house down and their parents died in it. And one of the brothers decided to do good with his powers. And the other one decided to take revenge on the people that did that and everybody who is against superpowered people. And he's got a grudge and against society and all that. So he went bad. He went good. And then they had this big battle. And supposedly they both died. And that's, he took that key to kind of drift off into the distance and not be a superhero anymore. So that's where that's at. That's where I'm at least. And it looks all right. We'll see.
Yeah.
No conclusions yet.
Sylvester Stallone, like Oscar winning actor, Oscar winning director, Oscar winning writer. I mean, the guy has some chops. So, you know, again, not directly related to comic books, but the fact that it is superhero related, we'll go ahead and talk about it. But hey, probably worth a watch. I'm probably going to watch it and maybe we'll give it a full
review.
We'll
talk about it next show.
Yeah. The other one I wanted to mention was a show that premiered last week on Hulu that my wife and I decided to watch. And the reason why it's related is it's a show called Welcome to Wrexham. And it's about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McKinley, who, if you don't know who Rob McKinley is, he was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as an actor. You probably recognize him.
Comedian on, actor.
On a television show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He grew up in Philadelphia, is a big sports fan, but heard about this team, this soccer team in England who was struggling and really wanted to see what they could do to help out. And he's like, look, you know, this is not something that TV money can handle. He's like, I need movie money and, you know, mobile phone money and tequila money, you know, like, so he had met Ryan Reynolds kind of casually, you know, in passing, and they kind of hooked up. And this was all during COVID, by the way, during the COVID pandemic, they kind of hooked up via Zoom and everything else. And they ended up buying this soccer team in Wales.
That's nuts.
And really goes into the hierarchy of football in the UK. And you've got the Premier League, which everybody's very familiar with. And then you've got the Champions League, which is right underneath the Premier League. But then you've got these other leagues right below them. I mean, there's like this tier. And it's like when you fall below this certain tier, you're like in no man's land.
Yeah.
And they go through all the players and the coaches and what it takes to kind of get back up into this level. And they buy this team that's really basically been relegated so many times that they're like on the lowest rung of the lowest rungs.
Yeah.
And they're like, what can we do to help? And we watched the first two episodes premiered on Hulu this week. And you know what? I don't know about you. I do know about you. Ryan Reynolds, I love the guy. Like, literally, I would take him out for a beer. We, you know, probably have a great time and just chat. And he seems like a super nice dude. Everyday man, just, you know, he's got everything going on in the world for him. He's a good looking dude. And he's just seems to be kind of just a regular guy. But I really enjoyed watching them kind of interact.
Their camaraderie.
Yes, it was cool. Really, really good. And if you haven't checked it out, please check it out. It is a really worth a watch. And again, Ryan Reynolds, funny enough, when they bought the team, like there's guys dressed up in the Deadpool costumes, like dancing in the streets. The town's so happy. And they're really trying to and it's very similar to the way it is here in the United States with, well, I'll say, you know, American football. in that, you know, the cities that have football teams really live and die by the success of that team.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is over there in the UK. If you have a local football team, the success or failure of your team like affects your daily life.
Sure.
Like the fact that they win or lose on a daily or nightly basis like affects whether you, you know, can go on the next day. I mean, it's crazy. And
I'm sure it affects tourism. It affects merchandising. I mean, everybody that sells the shirts and things of that, the street vendors and all that. I'm sure it affects a lot of people.
It's fun. And if you haven't seen it, please go check it out. It's really worth a watch. And I'm going to keep watching. My wife and I love it. It's the kind of show that we like to watch. And it hopefully has a positive ending. And it looks like they're going to be making some positive changes for the team. So we'll see how that goes. All right, well, let's jump into the news section because we got a ton this week. I can't believe how many things hit the wire this week. It was insane. First thing I want to mention, announcement came out today from Disney/Marvel. Thor: Love and Thunder will be streaming on Disney Plus Thursday, September 8th. Just happens to be Disney Plus Day, the day before the start of the D23 concert. Marvel and Disney are doing a special Disney Plus Day where they're hosting kind of some, you know, conferences around what's going on with Disney Plus. Just happens to be that same day of that conference. They're launching Thor: Love and Thunder streaming on Disney Plus that Thursday. So, hey, you and I enjoyed the movie. It was good. I'll watch it again for sure. Yeah. You know, it wasn't great.
I might watch it again. I don't know if I'm going to watch it again.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't great. No, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I think, I'll, you know, like anything else, I'll enjoy it probably more the second time.
It was definitely entertaining.
But the fact that it's launching the day of Disney Plus Day is telling. I mean, we can expect some pretty enormous announcements that day as well. So that was a big announcement from Marvel and Disney today. And then we heard a bunch of news this week, about what we can expect to hear at D23. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, we're doing our live broadcast on Sunday, September 11th. Marvel and Lucasfilm/Star Wars is having a big session on Saturday, September 10th at D23, the conference. And it's like a four-hour set. Well, what I'll say is there's no time limit for the session. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's going to go for as long as they need it to. We're going to hear a ton of stuff, but here's what we heard this week about what we can expect to hear from the D23 conference.
We'll save you some time, people. That Saturday, when they announce all this new casting, new shows, whatever they announce, just come to the podcast the next morning.
We'll cover it all.
We're going to cover it all. We're going to give you the cliff notes. We're going to eliminate the minutiae and get right into the juice.
We got a big announcement this week, which was kind of related. Marvel did, it kind of got leaked and then they officially had to announce it.
it was too much.
Yeah, it was. So we really do expect some pretty significant announcements around the Fantastic Four movie at D23.
Hopefully casting announcements.
Specifically a casting announcement, but then the director ended up being leaked and then ultimately announced by Marvel this week. It's going to be Matt Shackman. So Matt Shackman, if you guys don't know who Matt Shackman is, he was the one who directed WandaVision.
Yeah.
So he was a child actor, was in like the Wonder Years and Different Strokes and a bunch of shows as a child actor, rose up through the ranks, became a director, and directed the WandaVision series, which personally is probably my second favorite series on Disney Plus ever released.
It was a home run.
Without
you can
question.
Say that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a home run, and it was the first one after COVID, which was even better, you know, received because
of
the timing.
What a chance they took with WandaVision. So different, so out of the box.
And they did with it.
They did very well with
it. It was great.
A lot of people really liked that.
So I like the fact that Marvel has chosen to promote within. You know, they're looking at directors who have directed projects with them before, and they're looking to promote
Avengers Kang Dynasty is the guy that did Shang-Chi.
Right.
Yeah, so they are promoting within.
Yep.
You're right.
They're doing that. We've seen that from them before. But Matt Shackman is going to be the guy who's directing Fantastic Four. We know that John Watts, who had directed all the Spider-Man movies, had originally been tagged for that project, but he left that project, and they were looking for a new director. We found out subsequently that he left the project for two reasons. Primarily, he was tagged to direct Spider-Man 4, which is going to star Tom Holland. So he is directing that movie. So that one is still kind of in the timeline at some point in time. Maybe we might hear some more about that at some point in time in the near future. But he's also directing a new series on Disney Plus, a Star Wars series on Disney Plus called the, what is it? It's the
Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's with the guy from Captain Marvel.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Not Samuel Jackson.
No.
Talos? The guy that played Talos?
Not Talos.
No.
The guy who played Ron Perlman? No. Ron Perlman. I'll think of his name here in a minute. But anyway.
You'll pull it. You're going to pull it.
But it's
about some kids, right?
Yeah. It's basically about a crew. And so he's directing that as well. So John Watts left the project. But Matt Shackman is now in charge of the Fantastic Four, which is great.
Yeah.
But we do believe we're going to hear some casting announcements
We have to hear some casting announcements.
There have been rumors running rampant across the internet of who's going to be cast in certain roles. A lot of rumors around Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman. Not so much around the other roles, but I do believe they're going to bring people out on stage at D23.
Oh, they will. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to
happen. If some of those rumors are true, and I'm not going to get into any rumor mill stuff, I would absolutely be really happy. I really like the new rumor for Mr. Fantastic, who that guy is.
We'll see. We'll see what happens there. We do believe we're going to hear some casting information about the Thunderbolts. And again, you and I have talked about this in previous episodes. There's plenty of characters already in the MCU today that could be part of the Thunderbolts, specifically
Zemo,
Baron Zemo, and the Abomination, and U.S. Agent,
Florence Pugh.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots of people that could be part of that, but we do believe we're going to get some kind of casting announcement for that. We do believe we're going to hear some information about the Wonder Man series on Disney Plus.
Do you think we'll hear that Thursday during Disney Plus Day?
I think this is intermixed. Okay. I think the Disney Plus stuff, they may isolate to Disney Plus Day, and then some of the stuff may come Saturday. You're right. We may get Armor Wars, and that was another one that they said we're going to get some information about. We may get that in
Werewolf by Night.
Yeah. We'll get that stuff on Thursday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Wonder Man was a character they teased during WandaVision,
mm-hmm.
Played a huge, significant role in the Avengers and the West Coast Avengers over the years. The fact that they said that they were going to do a project featuring this character is great, so we'll hear something about that weekend. We should hear things about the Nova Project, and again, whether it's going to be a full-length movie or a Disney Plus series, we'll probably hear more about that.
I would love for Armor Wars to introduce the West Coast Avengers. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Shang-Chi 2, we know that project's been greenlit, but we know nothing about a date and a time and a plot.
Avengers Kang Dynasty become Shang-Chi 2?
I doubt it.
No.
Okay. I doubt it. I think
they're going to keep that separate?
I think that'll be separate.
Okay.
But I do think Shang-Chi's going to be very heavily involved in what's going on. What I'll say is, as much as Infinity War and Endgame really encompassed the entirety of the MCU at the time that we knew about, even Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel came in, at some point in time in that. I do believe the Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars will be everything and everybody we've ever seen.
Probably twice as big.
If you thought Endgame was big, like especially the final fight scene of Endgame, I think what we see in Secret Wars may be unparalleled.
Wow.
And I mean, there's even rumors now that, the Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield versions of Spider-Man may show up in Secret Wars. Wow. Who knows? And Venom and all this other, we don't know any of that. But I do think it's going to be pretty spectacular. And then, we should get some information about Deadpool 3.
We have to get some information about that.
Look, we know this is on the schedule. We know Ryan Reynolds is doing it. We know they've said enough of what the progress is, and the fact that we haven't had any announcement is surprising, and I think that is absolutely coming at D23. Yeah. So those are the things that we have been told that we should expect to hear. Anything on top of that, bonus, right? You know, we're happy right. for it, right? look, big announcement this week from Warner Brothers Discovery. When you sent this
shit
to me,
show.
When
Another
you sent this to me,
show.
I wish I were surprised. Yeah. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was, but I was
we
not surprised. Mm. So Aquaman 2, which was scheduled to be released March of 2023, has now been rescheduled for Christmas of 2023. So now this has been pushed back almost 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, from its release date to Christmas of 2023. And even more importantly, the Shazam Fury of the Gods movie that was supposed to come out in the first week of December this year
yeah.
is now being pushed to March.
March in place of the Aquaman holder, yeah. That's crazy.
What the hell is going on over at Warner
well,
Brothers Discovery?
We know that this guy, David, the one of the lead guys who's still over there, who's running it now, who's supposedly picking a DC guru, a DC comic guru to run that whole division. You know, he kind of laid out a 10-year plan. And from what I'm hearing, that 10-year plan will be reset and start with Black Adam and then moving forward. And some rumors out there are that they delayed these because they didn't have, how do you say his name? The Superman guy,
Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill. Nailed down to a contract, and I think they've resolved that. So hopefully he's coming back, and they're doing cameos and putting him in these
well,
movies.
And the one thing I said to you was when you told me this news, I said, thank you, Amber Heard. I really do believe that the Aquaman movie, the Amber Heard kind of backlash from the Johnny Depp trial and everything that happened there, you know, we heard all these rumors that she's been effectively written out of the movie and that her role had been diminished so substantially that
yeah.
she's barely in it
That's
anymore.
That's what she said, yeah.
From what we heard earlier that she had a pretty substantial role and that she was bearing the child of Aquaman and all this other stuff. And now here's what it tells me. They're completely writing her out of this movie.
Yeah.
They're recasting Maybe. That role and mm-hmm. they're reshooting every scene that she was in.
That
and,
could be.
And why not? You've got plenty of time now.
Yeah.
Right? You can just redo it all.
I can't believe there hasn't been any news about that, though. You would think.
Yeah. You know
Even
what?
Even some rumors I
it's
haven't heard.
It's a shit show
it
over
is.
There at Warner Bros.
It really is. I hope the Superman cameos are what they're doing.
Look, we know they have two movies in the can, quote unquote, in the can, pretty much done. And that's Black Adam and Shazam Fear of the Gods. The yeah. fact, you alluded to it, I do agree with you. They moved Shazam Fear of the Gods out of December because it was coming out a week before
Avatar
was mm-hmm. coming out, yeah. and they were going to get
their asses kicked.
Hammered.
Oh, no question.
In the box office.
That movie is going to do a billion.
They, you know, Shazam may have led the box office for a week, but yeah. then they would have just been gone.
Yeah.
They wanted to avoid the Avatar, you know, wave that was going to be coming Christmas time this year. Move it to March. Get out of that.
Be safe.
Yeah. Movie's done. I mean, we saw the trailer. We know it's pretty much finished. They're not going to do any reshoots. They're pretty much done with it. They just moved it to a more beneficial time frame for them. And you know what? I would not be surprised if we hear something about the Flash movie being moved as well. Right now, that's scheduled for July of next year. With everything that's going on with Ezra Miller, I just have a feeling. I mean, stories this week that he, you know, walked into Warner Brothers Discovery and had to basically like put his hat in his hand and just apologize for all of his behavior and all the bad things that are happening. And that movie is on life support.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
He's getting professional help because he's got some issues. And he even admitted it. He came out publicly and said, I have issues. I'm getting some public help. I mean, some professional help. So I thought the Flash movie would reset the DCEU. And from what I'm hearing now, it's Black Adam will set the tone. It's not going to be the Snyderverse, people. Don't get hysterical. But a lot of the actors and characters that were in the Snyderverse will continue to
be. But isn't this quite telling that, and again, this is why I'm surprised we haven't heard anything yet. They moved, so Aquaman was supposed to come out before the Flash movie.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be coming out after the theoretical Flash movie.
Yeah.
And if you were going to reboot the DCEU, why would you do it after? You know,
Aquaman.
Yeah, exactly. So
like they didn't have, Aquaman was supposed to come out way before the Flash. which tells me, I guarantee you, they will push Flashback.
That's what I'm telling you. The fact that we haven't heard anything is telling to me.
Yeah.
Look, it's a shit show over there. Here's the one thing I'll say about what's going on at Warner Brothers Discovery. Some of the projects they have going on that are not major theatrical release related are not changing. Like the Titans season 4 is coming out on HBO Max very shortly. I think it's in the next couple of months or something. It's coming out. And we've enjoyed those projects. Those have been very good. Their animated series are going to continue. Those things are happening, but we know what they did to their CW projects. They basically, you know, those are basically being canned and scrapped at some point in time. They're just rebooting everything, I think. Boy, they got to have somebody in charge there really quick.
Yeah, it is a shit show, but at least they recognize the issues and they're doing something about it to fix it. Whether it does fix it or not, at least they're moving in the right direction. And they have a vision, 10-year plan visioned out. And I hope that, look, you have characters that are so rich in content, like Superman. You have Batman, The Flash, Wonder Woman. You have that in your bucket. You're not going to lose with those characters. You just got to put them in a way that the story is everything. And hopefully they're going in the right direction. At least they recognize it and they're making some moves.
At least we have the Joker musical to look forward to.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that. Please.
Lady Gaga's going to win an Oscar for that one. All right. Some more news. I mentioned this to you last week. Spider-Man No Way Home is coming back to the theaters. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the top highest grossing movies of all time is coming back to the theaters. Spider-Man No Way Home will be back in theaters, and it is a special limited release that they're coming back to the theaters with additional scenes. Yes, the movie was close to 3 hours. Yes, it was long. Yes, it was awesome. But they are bringing back some of the deleted scenes from the original cut and putting them back into the theatrical release and bringing it back to theaters.
So is this like a director's cut? I knew it was coming back
to
theaters.
Very similar.
And I saw the poster that they're launching for that included all three Spider-Mans because it's not a secret anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't know they were going to add scenes. That's awesome.
Some new scenes that they cut from you know, and again, the movie was almost 3 hours to begin with, so... You know, they had to cut stuff to get it into the theaters in the first place. Without question. I mean, it's one of the greatest movies ever. I mean, it was just so awesome. So it's coming back. Whether it's a money grab by Sony or whatever, who cares? It's a great movie. I'll go just to see what new stuff is in it. And it was great to watch the first time anyway. So we'll
see
that.
Take my money.
Right, exactly. Take my money, please, Sony. And you sent this to me. Jeffrey Dean Morgan... has been cast in a undisclosed role in The Boys season 4.
Yeah. He's so great. Negan. He plays Negan in The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Great actor. Yep. Just plays just a really good, despicable, bad MF-er. I mean, you know, he really is just, you know, no apologies. I'm just, this is who I am kind of guy. And the question I asked you was, well, what role is he playing? Who is he playing in the show? Is
undisclosed.
Is he playing a super? Or is he playing a soup in that show? Or is he playing, you know, more of an admin person? We have no idea. But the fact that he's coming into the show is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, great actor, and it's probably going to kill it, whatever role he's in.
Oh,
that
no
show.
Question. Yeah.
So it'll be awesome.
I have no clue.
And you know, that's one of our favorite series. The Boys is just off the chain. We're looking forward to that. So we'll wait for some more news around that. Well, let's jump right into our top of the week. And we did get our second episode of She-Hulk this week. And, of course, our top of the week is always brought to us by our friends over at Studio GG Studios. Hey, Goat, I heard you're working on something special.
Goat.
And you sent us a little video talking about you're working on something special. We can't wait to see it. So keep up the good work, Goat. Studio G, thank you for all the things you do for us. You're our biggest supporters, and we appreciate all the help you give our show.
Studio G, G Studios, home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob.
Go check out their channel. It's always in the link in our show notes, so we'll give you some more info about
Excellent.
That. But you know, let's get into episode 2.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
I know there's a couple things you want to talk about, and there's something specifically I want to talk about. But the episode starts off with Jennifer Walters.
Spoilers if you haven't seen it. We're going to get into it, so spoilers.
It came out last Thursday. Come on, people.
You never know.
So she ends up, as we saw at the end of episode one, she, you know, there was an incident with Titania in the courtroom, and she was, you know, in the middle of a trial as a DA prosecuting an individual. She ends up having to turn into She-Hulk to defend everybody in the courtroom, and two things happened. The outcome from that were, number one, she's now all of a sudden famous, you know, because she's She-Hulk, and it's like everybody saw it on the on Instagram and you know, on TikTok and everything else. They saw her turn into She-Hulk. It was great. And the case got dismissed because they now said the jury was biased because they saw she was She-Hulk and she defended everybody and kept them from being killed, saved their lives. So the jury was biased. So
mistrial.
There was a mistrial. So she ends up getting fired by the district attorney's office, and now she's trying to find a new job.
Yeah.
And what she's finding out is that no law firm wants to take on her as She-Hulk because of the press and all the things that could happen because she is She-Hulk and all this other stuff. So she's doing all these interviews. And I tell you what, the family meeting,
hilarious.
The family dinner was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, just all of them, like, just making fun of her and just
great actors they've cast. Perfect casting.
It was great.
Really, this was one of my favorite. It's only been two episodes, but one of my favorite Disney Plus show episodes for some reason. I thought it was funny. I giggled a couple of times out loud. It was just really great. And everybody I know that's watching it loves it. Like, yeah. Me, my wife, Nancy, and I are watching it together. And she even likes it.
Yeah.
So it's really fun.
It's very, we mentioned this before the show started, that it was going to be very much in line with like the Ally McBeal kind of like courtroom drama, but like lighthearted kind of comedy, you know, and it's very much so much like that. And, but we found when she was searching for jobs, she's on the internet looking for jobs. And at one point in time, she's searching for like, We find her was being like a character actor in some like park in Denmark or something.
To try out to be a mascot.
Mascot.
Yeah.
But there were two major Easter eggs on this website that she was searching on the internet that basically like broke the internet for a day. One, on the right-hand side of this website that she's on, you see a headline that says, "Man with metal claws in a bar fight."
Yeah.
And it was direct, like, oh my God, it's a direct like
correlation, you know, of the Wolverine when he fought. Yeah.
It's the exact situation that happened in the original X-Men movie when Wolverine's in his, you know, he's doing like the bar fights in the cage fights in the bar. Right. And then he ends up, or is it man with metal claws in, you know, scene in bar fight, you know, we're like, holy crap. Direct reference to Wolverine.
Yeah. Or someone similar to him.
I mean, how could it not be?
I don't know.
But that was amazing. And then right below it, there was a headline that said, "Why is there a giant statue of a human in the Indian Ocean?"
Yeah.
And it's directly referring to Tiamat from the Eternals movie that got kind of basically turned to stone in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And we're like, how is nobody see this?
Right.
Life-size statue in the middle of the Indian Ocean. We finally saw somebody does know that it's out there. But those were two really cool Easter eggs that they put in the show. And who knows where they're going with any of it. We don't know. But the fact that they referenced them in the television show was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was a nice little Easter egg, and it really satisfying for fans.
Oh.
Like, you know, when she's at the dinner with her family and her father's like, "Hey, you know that Hawkeye guy? Does he go around and pick up his arrows after he shoots them? How does he get all those arrows?"
It's like dangerous to leave them around, right?
You know, a lot of fans are like, you know,
great
really
question.
Nerd. Yeah, it's a great question. Oh, yeah, you know.
We want to know the
answer. That's a great
to that.
Question. That's what I've been asking for 20 years. That was great.
It was awesome. But she does end up getting hired. Eventually, she's sitting at a bar, you know, drinking away her sorrows. She can't get a job. She ends up getting hired by the defense attorneys that were opposing her in her trial, a law firm, GLK and H.
Yeah.
And there's some Easter eggs around the name of the law firm. It really refers to like the original founders of Marvel Comics.
And some of their artists.
Like Stan Lee was Stan Lieberman.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe Kubert was, he's the K. There's a lots of like Easter eggs there. But anyway, the law firm ends up hiring her and says, hey, we'd like you to come work for us. We're starting a new division. We're like, she's like, I'll take the job. Of course. Come to find out, she shows up for her first day of work. And they're like, we hired you as the She-Hulk because we wanted the She-Hulk to lead a new division of our law firm.
Superhero.
Focusing on superpowered individuals.
Superpowered individuals, yeah.
And she was like right now? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want you to be She-Hulk like the entire time you're in the law firm. So yeah.
And in court.
And exactly. And which was great. And then you had a – and I when you said this – it look, I didn't even think about it, but when you said it, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it. So you said that there was a bit of a...
there was one scene...
There's not some consistency that bothers you a little
bit. Yeah, it bothers me.
She-Hulk is 7 foot tall.
Yeah, she's 7 foot tall. And when she's walking through the law firm with her new boss, Mr. Holloway, there's one scene where he's probably a 4-inch difference. She's only 4 or 5 inch. And the guy's not 6'5". She's 7 foot. And some of the other scenes, she towers over him like he's literally looking up, talking to her. But in this scene, she's kind of like just barely bigger than him or taller than him. And that bothers me. There's only really a few things that bother me. One is people that dress up in cosplay and mix genres, like have a R2-D2 head and a Iron Man body. I can't stand that. I just can't.
I never knew that about you, Titanium.
Yeah, I cannot stand like somebody dressing up like Dragon Ball, but has an American shield or and a lightsaber. You know, do not do that. Just go with the one character. I cannot stand cosplay people that mix like DC characters and Marvel characters or Star Wars and the video games. Yeah, I can't stand that. So just stay away from that. Another thing that really bothers me are shows about zombies that we get along with. I mean, like, oh, that teenage zombie. It's a school of zombies, and they have cheerleaders. And no, don't do that to zombies.
Oh, iZombie? Was that the name of that show?
Any of those
shows. She was
shows,
a zombie, but she's like a friend of everybody's?
Yes. Or any show. Remember when the kid was a zombie, and he fell in love with it, and it was like a romantic thing, and he's really a zombie? God. Come on. Don't do that to zombies.
Okay, so audience, just so you know, there's two things that really bother Titanium.
Those two things.
Okay. Zombies that get along with people. And when you mix genres and cosplay. So let's just like for reference, if you're coming
and
to our live
one,
show.
One more.
Oh, there's one more.
Yeah, the one more. That the last one is the inconsistency of size with characters. Like if Hulk is going to be.
Your wife Nancy was telling me about inconsistency with size too.
No, that's not true. Although I did go to the doctor the other day and I literally lost an inch. I think I'm shrinking. I'm nowhere near as tall as I used to be. It's weird. I think I'm shrinking. Anyway, I'm like Ant-Man. Anyway, that bothers me. Like when she's walking through the thing and she's not 7 foot and he's like 6'6". He's not 6'6". He's like at the very most.
There have been some criticism of the CGI in this show, specifically around sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's a little off.
Sometimes it's brilliant. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little off. And I think that that's the challenge with CGI in that. You know, we've seen Mark Ruffalo do this when he's the Hulk in the Avengers movies. He's wearing a motion capture suit with a camera literally like a foot and a half above his head so that the people know where his real head is, like the Hulk's head. And it's a challenge, I think, in shows like this, and especially, I'm sure, you know, Titania Mislani, who plays the She-Hulk, is probably 5'4 in real life.
Yeah,
right?
She's little.
So I think that's been a challenge for this television show specifically to make her 7 feet. I get your criticism. Yeah. I think it's very valid.
And it's all the Ant-Man movies. If you think about the Ant-Man movies, when he's little, when he's small, he should be that size consistently. And objects, sometimes, if he's this big, then this object should be this big, but they make it this big. Or if he's this big, the object should be that big, and they make it bigger. The inconsistency with size really bothers
me. Listen, Marvel, take note. Titanium's a little upset with the consistency of size, all right? As his wife is as well. So anyway, but I know what you were referencing, and I do think, to your point, there were times when, like, when she was in the bar talking, like, talking to her original boss the first time, like, she towered over him.
Yes.
And then when she shrunk down to her normal size, she was obviously her normal right. self. But we'll see how that goes throughout the show. I mean, yeah. you know, they probably struggle with CGI a little bit. And
again, the CGI doesn't bother me at all. I think it looks great at times. It's a little wonky at times, but it doesn't bother me. It still makes the action. It still moves the story forward.
But here's the thing.
The inconsistency aside, I don't know what that is.
Here's the thing I like about this particular show in relation to the more recent shows that we see, specifically Ms. Marvel. She's spending a significant amount of time on screen as She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Significant.
Uh-huh.
And I won't say it's equal, but it's probably at least half and half at this point in time, if not more She-Hulk.
Yes.
That's what we want.
Yes.
That's what we're asking for. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind the few scenes where she's her normal human self. I mean, that's fine. I mean, she's an actress. She wants to show her face, whatever. But the fact that she's in her CGI form a lot of times is great for me.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
We find out she gets hired by this law firm. They start a new division. They want to hire She-Hulk to represent superpowered individuals. And she finds out her first case is the parole of Emil Blonsky, the Abomination, who, and again, direct reference to the Edward Norton version of the Incredible Hulk movie,
yeah.
where the Abomination fought the Hulk in the city and in the streets of Harlem, and was ultimately imprisoned. Last time we saw the Abomination, he was in a fight club with Wong, and we kind of like, what's going on there? But she's now representing him and trying to get him out of jail. His parole is up.
He has a compelling case, don't you think?
Well, she goes visits him in court, in prison, and it's a high security, as you can imagine, high security prison. And he's like, look, I've become a new man. I'm now Emil Blonsky. I'm now Zen. I have these 7 friends who I bought a house with, and I just want to live with them and all this other stuff. And she,
by the way, that was one of the scenes where I laughed out loud. Her Silence of the Lambs reference.
Yeah.
Don't get too close to the prisoner. He's extremely dangerous. What's he going to eat me? Or, you know, serve me up with some nice bottle of Chianti.
Fava beans and a nice bottle of Chianti.
I did laugh.
Yeah, that was
funny.
Yeah. But, you know, she's like, you know, she finds out that, you know, he says the only reason why he turned into the Abomination and became such a violent person was because of the super soldier serum that the U.S. government injected into me. Yeah. And so she's got this strategy to kind of get him out of prison. And I think we'll see that pan out over the next couple of episodes. It looks like the next episode is really going to be focused on Wong, who's going to be talking about why he was involved in this whole situation, and as well as Emil Blonsky. But she's like, well, I have a conflict of interest. You know, you tried to kill my cousin, you know, basically, and I need to talk to him. And she calls Bruce and says, hey, Bruce, I've got this new job and I have got to represent Emil Blonsky. And he's like, I put it behind me. Don't worry about it.
He wrote me a heartfelt haiku.
He wrote me a nice letter with a heartfelt haiku, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, with a poem. He's like, I put it behind me. And he made a reference. He's like, that happened so long ago. We're totally different people now, which is so funny because he says, Edward Norton.
That was another part that I laughed. He says, you know, I'm a completely different person now, literally. And then the camera pans back to her and she looks at the camera and goes, ha. She literally breaks the fourth wall
it's
and says,
great.
Ha, confirming that, you know, that was a joke.
Edward Norton.
That was great.
Yeah, it was great. But he basically says, hey, it's fine. You know, if you want to represent him, that's no big deal to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that when they pan out from him, when he's talking to her on the phone, he's in the Sakaar spaceship
that cruiser.
Had come down and you know, caused the original accident that gave Jennifer Walters her powers.
Yes, are you going to be in L.A. anytime soon? He's like, not for a minute. I got
something I
got
to take care of.
I got something I got to take care of. Wow, what does that mean?
So he's off. He's off on the spaceship.
He's definitely off world.
Right, and how is he making a cell phone call? I mean, these things I just don't understand, you know. But anyway, he's on a spaceship heading somewhere, and we don't know. So that's the big question. It's like, where's he going? Why is he going? Whether or not we get the answer to this in this series, I don't know. But this does, you know, give us some reason to believe that some things may be happening with the whole character in the future. Potentially he's heading back to Sakaar, potentially finds out he has a family and all, who knows what happened. World War Hulk.
World War Hulk. Yeah. But give us a little quick synopsis of World War Hulk. Like,
well,
what is that about?
So I think what happened in the MCU is they kind of they kind of skipped over a little bit of what happened in the comic book. So eventually what ended up happening in the comic books is the Hulk became such a threat to Earth that the Illuminati,
yeah.
I mean, these, and again, very similar to what we saw in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, but not exactly identical. It, in the comic books, it was Professor X, Mr. Fantastic, Namor,
Black Bolt,
and Iron Man. Mm-hmm. They all decided that the Hulk is such a big threat to our Earth that we need to do something about him. Like, he had gone through a bunch of different things where he destroyed cities and killed some people and all kinds of other. We gotta do something about him. They put him on a spaceship and jettisoned him into space to basically get him off of Earth. And the original concept was that this spaceship was going to land on an uninhabited planet, basically with no life. And he was just going to live out
his years,
the rest of his life on this planet with no other life. Well, in the middle of its journey, the spaceship gets deflected by an asteroid or a cosmic storm or something happens, and it gets deflected and lands on Sakaar. And that's where he ends up on Sakaar and ends up fighting in the gladiator pits and
like Ragnarok.
Exactly. Very similar to what happened to Ragnarok, but he fights in gladiator pits. He ends up falling in love with a woman. He makes friends with Korg and Meek and all these other characters. And then ultimately the spaceship that he landed on the planet with ends up exploding and killing his wife. And then he gets so pissed off that he's like, I'm going back and taking revenge on the people that sent me here in the first place. And he comes back to Earth and exacts his revenge as World War Hulk. So that's a very big diversion from why he ended up at Sakaar in the first place in Thor Ragnarok and all kinds of other things. So we don't know where the MCU is going with this, but the fact that this could happen is like, I mean, the fans are looking
for... It's a buzz.
Right now we have Professor Hulk. We have Bruce Banner's mind in the Hulk's body. And as entertaining it as it is for us as consumers of the content, because we get to listen to Mark Ruffalo speak to us as the Hulk and all kinds of other things, we want to get back to the mean, badass, just
Hulk
beat
rage.
The crap out of people Hulk. Yeah. And they're thinking that this may be kind of the precursor to that. So we'll see where they go with this. We don't know.
No.
We'll see.
Interesting.
But anyway, so that's where he's heading off to. She accepts the case, joins a law firm, is now, you know, decided to take on Emil Blonsky's case. And at the end of the show, she sees the news, and all of a sudden there's a clip on the news of Abomination fighting in an underground fight ring in, where were they? They were in Madripoor or some, wherever they were in Shang-Chi.
The Iron Lotus something? Or
the Black Lotus.
Black Lotus,
yeah.
Some kind of fight club.
Fight club, where the scene from Shang-Chi Chu where Abomination is fighting Wong.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he escaped from prison, and he was fighting in some underground fight ring in the Far East.
Q Wong and a She-Hulk.
And she's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a big, you know, monkey wrench in her case. But I think this leads into the next episode where Wong is going to have to show up and kind of explain what happened and why he broke him out and why he was there and all kind of. So we'll get that in the next episode, I believe. But yeah. I really enjoy this show. It's entertaining. It's fun.
It's got enough Easter eggs. And you're right. I think the key component here is she's She-Hulk a lot.
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany's done a great job with the character. I think whether she's in human form or She-Hulk form, you know, her wit and her kind of comedic
acting
timing and things like that are all really good. I think they've done a great job of the show so far. And I mean, I'm looking forward to where the show's going. I mean, we know Daredevil's in it. Yeah. We know there's so many things.
And
we
there's
going to
be a lot of, I think there's going to be what I hear, the end credit scene to next episode. There's going to be a lot of memes, so it's going to be exciting. So check out the end credit scene at the next episode.
This dark web stuff you've been looking up?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So it could be good. Hey, Professor, great show. Let's ring the bell.
All right. Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or @supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.